I see what he means, because I have no idea what these hundreds of lines of code that ChatGPT generated for me based on the prompts that I gave it, like what they actually mean or do. You know, it describes it for you, tells you like what you're grabbing and what the purpose of X, Y, and Z is for. But generally, you know, not every single intricate line of code. I have no idea what that stuff means. But what I do know is the prompts that I'm giving it and what I'm expecting in return. And when I take that and it doesn't work, and then I can go back to it and say, this is what you gave me. I wanted it to do this, but this is the response that I'm getting in my Mac terminal. Why is that? And then it tells me, oh, that's because X, Y, and Z. We actually have to download this from there and blah, 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 blah. And I'm speaking to it in obviously normal human language, because that's all I know. I don't know code language. So him saying that eventually humans will just code in normal human language, I think is going to create like this beautiful, for lack of a better word, coding / poetic space of creativity. What up, folks? What's going on? Welcome to the Spun Today podcast, the only podcast that is anchored in writing, but unlimited in scope. I'm your host, Tony Ortiz, and I appreciate you listening. This is episode 258 of the Spun Today podcast. And in this episode, I speak about watching the Netflix series Griselda. I also speak about watching another series on Netflix, which wasn't a Netflix original, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was like an FX or some other network original, but I did watch it on Netflix where it's streaming now, which is Loudermilk. And I also speak about some interesting applications of AI that I've come across recently that I wanted to share with you fine folks. However, before we start the episode, I wanted to tell you all about a quick way that you can help support this podcast if you so choose. Your support means an absolute ton. It's motivating and inspires me to continue to put out the content that I love to create, which is this podcast and my writing. So here's one quick way that you can help support the show, and then we will jump right into the episode. Do you want to start your own podcast? Have a great show idea that you want to get out into the masses, but don't know quite how to get it from your head out into the world? Well, here's how. Use the podcast host, Libsyn. That's who I use to bring the Spun Today podcast to you. And now you can use them the same way. Using the promo code SPUN, S-P-U-N, you can open up your Libsyn account today and get 2 months of free podcast hosting. Here's how it works. Once you record your show, you upload it to your Libsyn account, where you can fill in your episode notes, upload your podcast art, and schedule when you want your episodes to release. Once you do that, Libsyn will take care of the rest. They'll distribute your show to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and all the other podcatchers that you choose, instantaneously and seamlessly. Again, go to Libsyn.com and use the promo code SPUN, S-P-U-N, to get 2 months free. Or use the affiliate link that's in the episode notes. Again, that's Libsyn.com, promo code SPUN. Take that great podcast idea from out of your head and put it out into the world. Griselda is a Netflix original series whose first season debuted in 2024. It is from the creative minds of Narcos and Narcos Mexico, starring Sofia Vergara. And for those who may not know, Griselda is depicting the life of Griselda Blanco, aka the Black Widow, aka the mother of cocaine, which was a deadly and violent drug trafficker in the Miami drug scene during the 1970s and 1980s. Pablo Escobar, which was the notoriously ruthless Colombian drug lord and head of the Medellin cartel, was quoted in the show's opening to say, quote, "The only man I was ever afraid of was a woman named Griselda Blanco," end quote. Here's the official synopsis for the show, and then we'll shout out the writers as we always do. Griselda is inspired by real events. This fictional dramatization shows Griselda Blanco's journey from Medellin, to becoming the godmother of Miami's drug empire. And as we like to do here on the Spun Today podcast, let's shout out each and every one of the writers that put this series together. Starting with Carlo Bernard, And now let's shout out the writers, as we like to do here on the Spun Today podcast, starting with Carlo Bernard, Ingrid Escajeda, Doug Miro, Eric Newman, Brina Kuf, Turi Meyer, Gina Lucita Monreal, Casey Pappas, Giovanna Sarkis, and Alfred Septian. Shout out to each and every one of the writers that put the Griselda series together. So the series essentially opens up with Griselda in Medellin, Colombia, where she's from. And she's the husband for this low-level drug dealer guy who has a brother that's in the drug game as well. Her husband is more of a hothead who's always making bad decisions and gets in over his head. The brother is more of the ruthless businessman type. And Griselda's husband fucks up and winds up owing his brother a shit ton of money. And the brother says that he would forgive his debt if he let him bang his wife. And Griselda's husband, being the cuck fuck up that he was, allows it and convinces Griselda to do it for the family. Forces her into it, basically. She winds up doing it, aka doing the brother, and gets in a blow-up fight with her husband after the fact. The husband kind of dogs her, treats her like shit, and she's like, wait a second, I just did what I did for the quote-unquote for the family instead of you just standing up to your brother, and on top of that you're treating me like shit. And she winds up shooting her husband and killing him. She then winds up grabbing her three kids, which she had at the time, and fleeing Colombia and going to Miami to stay with a friend who was also within the drug game somehow. She was married to a drug dealer, but she got away from the life, went clean, and has a travel agency in Miami. She's the only person that she knew. She called her, asked her for help, and she took her in on a temporary basis, her and the kids. It was Carmen, played by Vanessa Federlito, which is a dope actress. And by the way, circling back to Griselda Blanco, being played by Sofia Vergara, one of the biggest knocks on this series, at least that I heard when the series was announced initially, was that Sofia Vergara was going to play Griselda, because Sofia Vergara is a very attractive woman and Griselda is anything but the real Griselda. Sorry, but I was like, how the fuck are they going to, is she going to pull that off? It's going to be a little weird. So they kind of uglified Sofia Vergara a little bit, but she still, even with that, still comes off as very attractive. And they definitely use that sexuality within the series to her advantage, and, you know, being able to get things done with certain men and so on and so forth. So just wanted to mention that as a quick aside. But long story short, her initial plan, at least what she tells Carmen she's there for, is to go clean. You know, she's running away from her husband who beat her, quote unquote. We don't know if she actually killed him, but she said that she was, you know, running away from an abusive relationship, which was technically true, but also left out the fact that she killed the guy. And she left Colombia with 1 kilo, and she was going to just use that to sell it so she could buy a house for her and the kids, and then, you know, start a business and live clean, similar to Carmen's situation. Carmen even wound up giving her a job until she got on her feet in her travel agency. And she actually hid the fact that she was going to try to sell the kilo on the side to make some money. And she very quickly winds up getting taken advantage of by different men that she, you know, she tries to either sell it to, or they take it from her, or they try to cut her out of deals. And the series depicts this constant struggle of her vying for her rightful place as this, you know, drug dealer businesswoman in this very male-dominated world of drug dealing. And a smart thing that she does in the beginning is realizing that, you know, she can't just show up places by herself. She needs to have a bodyguard. She needs to look more than what she is. So when she finally gets a meeting with someone to sell her kilo to, with the promise that she can get more, she recruits a dishwasher working at a diner that she was eating at because he was Colombian and spoke Spanish and he was a taller guy. And she was like, listen, it's just for a day. I'll give you, I forget how much it was, $200, $500 or something like that, more than he was making, obviously washing dishes. And all you have to do is go with me, open the door for me of the car, and, you know, I'll give you a gun, but you're not going to have to use it, just so you can watch my back and just look tough or something. He winds up agreeing, and of course, shit goes left. There's a shootout, and the dishwasher guy actually winds up saving her life right before she almost gets shot. And then he winds up staying as her like bodyguard throughout most of the series. Then the brother of her ex-husband that she killed is looking for her to avenge. He pieces together what happened, you know, from some eyewitness testimony and the fact that she disappeared along with her kids, and his brother turned up dead. He's searching for her, finds out that she's in Miami, and winds up going with his number one hitman, his sicario, and tracks her down and is literally strangling her to death in a motel room. And his bodyguard winds up pulling out a gun and shooting him in the head and saving her life. And he was a notorious hitman for this guy. His character name is Darío, played by Alberto. He winds up being Griselda's new number one head of security and kind of teaches Chucho, the dishwasher, the ropes. And he also winds up becoming the love interest of Griselda Blanco, and they wind up having a kid together. And now with him by her side, she winds up definitely getting respect and climbing the ranks. Still has a lot of enemies, you know, that don't want her to take over, obviously, how that world is. There's a lot of infighting. And she winds up recruiting Cuban Marielitos, builds herself like a small army, because all the Colombians don't want to fuck with her because they're, you know, part of other, you know, drug crews that are already there and established. But the Cuban Marielitos, which was the term given to the Cubans that emigrated to the U.S. So it comes from the Mariel boat lift, which was a mass emigration of Cubans who traveled from Cuba's harbor to the United States between April 15th and October 31st in 1980. And the term Marielito was used to refer to those refugees in both Spanish and English. And her ruthlessness, plus having this small army by her side, she wanted to take over shit. All the while, you know, psyching herself out and saying she's just doing it and for her kids and to give them a better life. And, you know, they're growing up, obviously, with drug dealers and killings and illegal shit all around them, pretty much getting groomed into that same life. And then we go through the phase in the series where the typical, you know, getting high on your own supply happens. And that's both literally on the drugs itself, but also just buying into your own shit. You're this all powerful being and your own hype and bullshit. And all of that winds up doing her in. She winds up getting super paranoid, turning her back on friends like Carmen that were, you know, there for her. She even started looking at Chucho sideways once investigations were ramping up against her and the FBI and joint police task forces in the area began knowing who she was and locking people up and investigating her. She got super paranoid, thought that Chucho was a rat, wound up trying to get him killed, and which was actually a true story that you guys can look up the actual articles of from the Miami papers in that time. But she sent a hitman to kill Chucho, who was just driving down the street and had his 2 or 3 year old son in the backseat. And the guy that was shooting at him couldn't see the kid because, you know, little kid just sees the backseat looking empty. Shoots Chucho, doesn't get him, but kills his son. And then I think Chucho like flees and winds up working with the cops to ultimately bring Griselda down and get her arrested. I think 2 of her kids in the series, if not 3, wind up dying as well. Just like stupid shit like fights in clubs, and one was drug related, if I'm not mistaken. Darío, she turned her back on as well. Wound up fleeing the country with their kid and going to stay with his mother. Griselda eventually tracked them down as well, wound up killing him and taking the son back. There was a dope character in the series that wound up kind of putting a wedge between her and Darío because he was the head hitman for the other top drug dealer that Griselda essentially took over for and then also went to work for Griselda. His name was Rivi, the character name, played by Martin Rodriguez. He was just a dope character. I like how he played that role. And overall, it was just a dope series. It was an interesting watch, especially if you were a fan of Narcos Mexico, although all those Narco series, this is definitely within that same vein. And there's some overlaps, not much, but some overlaps with Fabio Ochoa is in this. And in real life, she winds up dying after going back to Colombia. And she winds up getting gunned down by a killer on a motorcycle in the middle of the street. But yeah, it was definitely a dope series. That is my little recap and review of Griselda. Check it now or check it out now, rather. Available and streaming on Netflix. Loudermilk is a comedy drama TV series that is currently available for streaming on Netflix. It was created by Peter Farrelly and Bobby Mort. Peter Farrelly of movies such as Dumb and Dumber, There's Something About Mary, Green Book, and the comedy level of this series is definitely up to par with those classics. Here is the official synopsis. Sam Loudermilk is a recovering alcoholic and substance abuse counselor with a bad attitude. Although he has his drinking under control, Loudermilk discovers that when your life is a mess, getting clean is the easy part. And as we like to do here on the Sponsored Podcast, let's shout out the writers that put this series together. Starting with Peter Farrelly, Bobby Mort, Dave Connaughton, I'm pretty sure I butchered that, apologies Dave, John Ricky Blitt, Danny Smith, Dave Sheridan, Jimmy Dunn, Jackie Flynn, Kate Shriver, Laura Stryker, Shira Hoffman, James Lee Freeman, Brian Jarvis, John Elliott Jordan, Thomas Jordan, and Yasir Lester. Shout out to each and every one of the writers that put this hilarious series together. Now, this series has actually been around for a while. It debuted in 2017 and has several seasons, three seasons, if I'm not mistaken, through 2020. I'm assuming it stopped or was canceled around COVID. Maybe it will be coming back, I'm not sure. But this was one of those fortunate finds that wifey actually found. Stumbled upon it on Netflix, just press play. And from the first episode, she started watching it. I started listening in. It was funny as hell. She liked it. I got into it as well. And we wound up binge watching all three or four seasons, whatever it is. And it stars Ron Livingston, who plays Sam Loudermilk. And I know him from the Office Space movie. He was like one of the main characters there. And the show itself, it's very reminiscent to me of Curb Your Enthusiasm, because Loudermilk speaks his mind with no filter, very similar to how Larry David does in Curb. So it definitely has that type of vibe with the top-notch comedic writing of a Peter Farrelly and just amazing acting by hilarious comedic actors and actual comics like Will Sasso, who plays a big role. He plays Ben Burns, which is Loudermilk's roommate. Brian Regan is in this. He plays Muggsy Bennigan. And there's so many of the secondary characters, and quote unquote secondary because they're in every single episode, at least most of them are, that are fucking hilarious. Because it's a group of, Loudermilk runs this AA meeting counseling group, and you just see all these degenerate gamblers or alcoholics and drug addicts, you know, sharing stories and talking, and we get glimpses into each of their lives, and they create such laugh out loud moments, like literal laugh out loud moments, that totally makes the show worthwhile. And in a weird way, it also kind of humanized that. I don't know much about that AA culture, but watching this reminded me of the Netflix series Mo with Mo Amir, which I did a deep dive about when after series one. I'm still waiting for fucking series two, which I know got greenlit, but then COVID happened, so I guess everything is just delayed, but really looking forward to that coming back on. But similar to what I said with watching that series of how I knew little about Muslim or folks about them culturally, and a show like Mo helped me see and realize, like, oh shit, they just go to a different church, you know, have a couple different customs, but the immigrant experience is the immigrant experience for a Palestinian, a Dominican, a Colombian, an Asian, which I know is a much wider umbrella. But similar to that, I had that type of feel with this AA group, where naively, I just kind of thought of it as, yeah, I know some people, you know, struggle with, you know, addictions, it's a disease for them, but didn't really, that's a very surface level type of deconstructing of what those folks go through. And seeing this in a much more intimate, more detailed setting, albeit a comedy slash drama, but just gave me additional insights and made me think and consider different aspects of their lives that I would have never considered otherwise. They're people too, right? They're fucking people too. let me stop. And aside from the writing being very poignant and funny itself, I actually pulled some writing advice from it in Sam Loudermilk, which he was a writer. He was a music writer for Rolling Stone and a bunch of different magazines and stuff like that back in the day. I believe he was giving someone writing advice for a song or writing music or something in general, and said this line that definitely resonated, which was, just get it out of your head and quit being so precious about it. I definitely took that out as a takeaway for myself to give myself a little kick in the ass for working on Fractal 2, but I digress. But yeah, man, definitely a worthwhile show. It's one of those, after you watch it and you enjoy it, you could rewatch episodes, any episode, you know, randomly if you want. Put it on in the background, you know, like a Seinfeld, like a Friends. To me, it has that type of vibe, but definitely more R-rated, funnier. R-rated, X-rated, I don't know what the actual designation would be, but definitely more adult humor. And that is my little recap and review of the show Loudermilk, available now on Netflix. I wanted to tell you guys about a couple of interesting applications of AI, aka artificial intelligence, that I've come across. I want to preface this by saying I am in no way, shape, or form an expert. I just find this stuff interesting. I follow a lot of AI pages. I listen to podcasts about AI. I've used some AI tools for different things, like ChatGPT, Claude AI as well. And it currently feels like the beginnings of the internet. If you go back in you know, the 90s, was it 95, 98, 99, the AOL CDs and getting on AIM and fucking Yahoo Messenger and shit like that. And using those different tools for the first time, it definitely feels that way in terms of AI being in its like nascent stages, but in a way that you can see it becoming and evolving into something so much more ubiquitous than what it currently is. And I just wanted to share a couple of stories with you guys of what I think are glimpses into that future. And the first two are related to the medical field. There was a story that came out of a child that was having issues and the mom couldn't figure out what it was. She went to a bunch of different doctors. They couldn't diagnose what was wrong with the child. And the mom took to, I believe, ChatGPT, but it could have been a different one. And she uploaded the kid's CAT scans and MRIs, if I'm not mistaken, and typed out a bunch of the symptoms that the child was having. And the AI model was able to accurately diagnose what was wrong with the kid, what medications could help, and ultimately, I believe, was reconfirmed and backed by actual medical professionals, which is amazing. And this next story is about a routine mammogram that a woman had that showed everything being fine. The technician, the doctor reviewed the results of the mammogram, gave her a clean bill of health. And then those same scans were put into an AI model, and it was able to identify two cancerous cells within the images, or potentially cancerous cells within the images, that were unseen to the naked human eye, which is how it got past the technician and the doctor, but highlighted them and recommended getting an MRI, which is deeper imaging and picks up things that a normal scan during a mammogram does not. And the MRI was able to confirm those cancerous cells and ultimately potentially save the life of that person. And I think those two examples are, for all the scary scenarios and ways that, you know, AI or AI related tools can be misused, that are, I think, true fears of folks that are, you know, much, much more in the know than I am. But I think just generally speaking, every tool can be used for good and can be used for evil, right? But those two examples, which of course are anecdotal, but are, to me, very encouraging, very hopeful ways that AI can be implemented for the better. Another cool application that I wanted to tell you guys about is AI's coding ability, which I can't code worth a damn. And by worth a damn, I don't mean I'm bad at coding. I mean, I literally can't code anything. The only thing I've ever coded was back in the MySpace days, when you would have to go on obscure websites and copy and paste the code into the back end of your MySpace page to give yourself a scrolling toolbar or some shit like that. But I've leveraged both ChatGPT and Claude AI to try to develop my own app for clipping podcasts and identifying moments within a podcast, similar to how Headliner does, which I currently use as a tool, Cast Magic, Descript, and others, and I use them to, you know, once I create a podcast episode, I create clips of that episode to put on social media, YouTube, my website, etc. But I wanted to see if I can develop my own software to do that. So I started using ChatGPT, and I definitely have not gotten it to a place where it works, but I did get it to a place where it could transcribe a podcast episode or a clip of a podcast episode locally in my own computer, which isn't much because you could do that for free on websites. And also, again, those aforementioned sites like Cast Magic do that automatically for my podcast episodes. But just trying to, you know, create my own little proof of concept of, is what I'm doing working? And, you know, the code that ChatGPT is creating based on the prompts that I give it, and I'm copying into Terminal and my Mac and creating my own little application and then trying it. Does that actually work? And it does. When and if I'll get it to the point of doing what I want it to do, which from my perspective is a way for me to have a place to, you know, do what I need without having to leverage all these other websites that already do different versions of what I want, but having and creating my own all in one place to do this stuff. Will I get it to that point is yet to be seen, but it's just dope again from seeing this from what it is now, which is the beginning stages of AI, to what it will, in my opinion, very clearly become, which is as ubiquitous as the internet itself. And listening to Sam Altman on Lex's podcast in a recent episode, which I'll link to in the episode notes for anybody who's interested in this kind of stuff. Sam Altman is the CEO of OpenAI, which is the company that created ChatGPT and Sora and DALL-E, for example. He said something very interesting when Lex asked him if, you know, these types of applications are just going to get rid of coders. Sam Altman thinks not, or at least not directly, but he said what it's going to do is make it so that people will eventually code in normal human language, which I thought was very, very fucking interesting. And with the extremely limited experience that I have in that, you know, trying to create my own little app thing that I just mentioned to you guys, I see what he means, because I have no idea what these hundreds of lines of code that ChatGPT generated for me based on the prompts that I gave it, like what they actually mean or do. You know, it describes it for you, tells you like what you're grabbing and what the purpose of X, Y, and Z is for. But generally, you know, not every single intricate line of code. I have no idea what that stuff means. But what I do know is the prompts that I'm giving it and what I'm expecting in return. And when I take that and it doesn't work, and then I can go back to it and say, this is what you gave me. I wanted it to do this, but this is the response that I'm getting in my Mac's terminal. Why is that? And then it tells me, oh, that's because X, Y, and Z, we actually have to download this from there and blah, 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 blah. And I'm speaking to it in obviously normal human language, because that's all I know. I don't know code language. So him saying that eventually humans will just code in normal human language, I think is going to create like this beautiful, for lack of a better word, coding / poetic space of creativity. Or AI will just get embedded into robots and we'll all be slaves before something like this is actually realized. One of the two, but hopefully it's the former. But definitely hit me up and let me know what you guys think. If you guys have played around with AI or any of these tools, definitely be interested to hear what you have to say. And that, folks, was episode 258 of the Spun Today podcast, the only podcast that is anchored in writing but unlimited in scope. And I appreciate each and every one of you for taking the time to listen. I'm going to leave you with a couple of quick ways you can help support this show if you so choose, which I really, really, really appreciate. And then I'll check you guys out next time. Peace. What's up, folks? Tony here. I hope you're enjoying the Spun Today podcast as much as I enjoy producing it for you. Here are a few ways you can help support the show. You can support the Spun Today podcast financially by going to spuntoday.com/support. There you will find a couple different ways that you can do just that, some of which will actually not even cost you a dime, such as using my Amazon affiliate link. When you go to spuntoday.com/support, you'll see my affiliate link to Amazon. Click on it and it will take you to Amazon's website where you can do your shopping like normal. This will not cost you anything extra, but Amazon will pay me for driving traffic to their website. If you'd like to support the podcast more directly, you can do so by becoming a patron. At spuntoday.com/support, you'll also find my Patreon link. This is where creators such as myself can be paid directly by patrons like you. You can either make a one-time donation or schedule recurring donations if you so choose. There are also different tiers of support, and depending on which you decide to go with, you'll also receive some perks in return, such as early access to content, free digital copies of my books, free bookmarks, etc. That is, again, by supporting via my Patreon link, available at spuntoday.com/support. Similar to Patreon, at that same location, you'll also find my Ko-fi link as well as my Buy Me a Coffee link. They work very similar to Patreon and are different ways that you can help support the show financially. And last but certainly not least, you have the good old-fashioned PayPal donation button. Any which way that you choose to support is greatly appreciated. It all helps me do more of what I love, which is writing and podcasting. Again, go to spuntoday.com/support. You can also support the Spun Today podcast by rating and reviewing the show wherever it is that you're listening to this episode. I'd really appreciate it because it really does help. Also, follow me on all socials. At Spun Today on X, formerly known as Twitter. At Spun Today on Instagram. And at Spun Today on YouTube, where you'll not only find full-length episodes of the podcast, but also chopped up clips and additional content. And of course, you can follow the Facebook page at facebook.com/SpunToday. Another way you can help support the Spun Today podcast and also upgrade that stale wardrobe of yours is by going to spuntoday.com/support and clicking on the banner for Stitch Fix. Once you do, you'll enjoy a $25 discount to your first purchase. And the way Stitch Fix works is pretty cool. I use it and have never been disappointed. You'll set up a profile, you'll put in all the sizes for your clothes, as well as all the different brands and types of clothes that you like to wear. It's really simple and intuitive to set up. They'll show you pictures and pretty much give you a thumbs up or thumbs down option on if you would wear something or not. And you get to select all the brands that you already are used to wearing. With this information, there are thousands of passionate trend-setting stylists who will curate a Stitch Fix box for you. They'll send you 5 items that you get to preview before they mail it to you, and you'll get to select based on the image if you like it or not. If not, they'll replace it with something else. And if so, they'll mail it to you absolutely for free. You can try everything on, and you have a few days to send everything back or keep the stuff that you want to keep. Then you can use that $25 credit that I mentioned towards your purchase of those items. Again, to freshen up your wardrobe and also support the Spun Today podcast, go to spuntoday.com/support. And click on my affiliate link banner for Stitch Fix and enjoy your $25 credit. Do you want to start your own podcast? Have a great show idea that you want to get out into the masses but don't know quite how to get it from your head out into the world? Well, here's how. Use the podcast host Libsyn. That's who I use to bring the Spun Today podcast to you. And now you can use them the same way. Using the promo code SPUN, S-P-U-N, you can open up your Libsyn account today and get 2 months of free podcast hosting. Here's how it works. Once you record your show, you upload it to your Libsyn account where you can fill in your episode notes, upload your podcast art, and schedule when you want your episodes to release. Once you do that, Libsyn will take care of the rest. They'll distribute your show to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and all the other podcatchers that you choose, instantaneously and seamlessly. Again, go to libsyn.com and use the promo code SPUN, S-P-U-N, to get 2 months free. Or use the affiliate link that's in the episode notes. Again, that's libsyn.com, promo code SPUN. Take that great podcast idea from out of your head and put it out into the world. And as always, folks, substitute the mysticism with hard work and start taking steps in the general direction of your dreams. Thanks for listening. I love you, Aiden.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Grayson.
I love you, Daddy.